Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Hi, everybody. It's Pastor Joe, and I'm here with Pastor Vicky. And this week we have what you could call our first ever Maplewood podcast holiday special. Do you like that?
I like that.
Yes, that's what we're going to call it. And we thought since we had our Christmas program this last weekend, we wanted to touch base with everybody out there. And we had a great program on Sunday, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think about it?
I thought it was awesome. I was very proud.
I was proud of our church, too. We had about 127 folks in the service, and we had a ton of people across the church who were participating in preparing the program, and it was a great ministry outreach for our church. I felt like our church showed up really well this weekend.
I did, too.
Very cool. So what we thought we would do, since we didn't have sermons this week, I thought I would drag Pastor Vicky kicking and screaming into the podcast. And we're actually sitting here signing Christmas cards at our dining room table as we record this. So she's
right.
totally just putting up with me, which I really appreciate. But I thought this would be an opportunity for us to just kind of communicate directly with our church family, just in a more informal way, just about what Christmas means to us, because we've been at Maplewood for a year and a half now, almost. Is it a year and a half?
It's only been like a year and not quite. Let's see, September, October, and almost 4 months.
And almost 4 months.
Yeah.
So a year and 4 months. So they don't know us yet. We're getting to know everybody. But I thought that this would be a great opportunity for us to just kind of share, you know, a little bit about what Christmas means to us, our favorite parts of Christmas, and just let everybody know that we are real people as we sit here signing our Christmas cards this year. So first of all, I guess the first question I have on my list, just generally speaking, for you, Pastor Vicky, what is your favorite part of the Christmas season?
It's a hard question.
That's a hard question.
Yeah, he read these questions to me beforehand, and I thought, boy, you're not making it very easy. There are so many of my favorite parts of the Christmas season, but definitely any time when our family can be together, and especially as our boys are setting out on their own and establishing their own homes and their own traditions. Certainly the highlight so far for me this Christmas season has been the night that we trimmed our tree. And we have our own special Saturday after Thanksgiving holiday tradition for our family. It's always the Ohio State Michigan game.
Yeah.
So Pastor Joe always has to watch the game. But during halftime, he'll usually get the tree up in the front room here, and then that evening we will have a particular menu, and somehow this menu has evolved over many years of our family's tradition, and it's nothing we eat normally the rest of the year, but we make a lot of finger foods and meatballs and salami bread and deviled eggs and all kinds of things, and if I alter the menu, it's very disturbing to the boys.
Yes.
they don't like change. But we have, and shrimp cocktail, I don't want to leave that out. Drew would be very unhappy. And then we'd sometimes have had my parents with us and your parents with us, and then we'd, and here as of recent days, sometimes we have some lady friends of the boys, and then we decorate the Christmas tree all together, and I look forward to that. That's just a tradition of this case family that we have enjoyed. And then for me, it's about, you know, the big holidays of the church family. So
mm-hmm.
This past Sunday with the program and the meal, and those are always the highlight moments for me of celebrating with the people I love and care about.
And that kind of gets into my next question, which is, what's your favorite part about Christmas at Maplewood so far?
Well, we're still like learning the ropes of what Christmas at Maplewood looks like, but I love the fact that they enjoy just the simple joys and the decorating of the church building and reaching out to those around us who are needy and, you know, doing our best to do our part to help. And yes, the music and the programs and celebrating with the children. And I know this year we're having a party with our next gen kids next Sunday, which I think is kind of a new spin on a tradition at Maplewood. And I just like all of it. I don't dislike any of it, so it's really hard to pick one.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas party. I think that'll be fun this next Sunday night.
It will be too.
So that'll be great. That's a Sunday night at 6.
But dinner will start at 5:15, and then actually the children's portion, we are starting around 9:45 with the games for the kids. But they're going to have games, and they're going to get to make an ornament, and we'll be baking up some salt dough ornaments this week. Valerie Cox is helping me with that, and then they'll get to hear the Christmas story from their teacher.
Salt dough ornaments.
Salt dough ornaments. Oh, don't eat them. They taste horrible. We have many on our tree.
Yeah, that's true. We do. We have a lot. You should see our house. Maybe we'll take a picture and we'll post it with this podcast just so people can see our Christmas tree. My favorite part of the Christmas season is probably, and this is like really hard for me to say, but secretly it really is my favorite part, and that is shopping. I haven't started my shopping yet this Christmas holiday season, so it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, I've got to temper myself right now because I'm like almost in panic mode. But I don't know if it's shopping as much as I enjoy watching people receive gifts. So
you love to be this household Santa Claus.
I enjoy that role.
But I hate the shopping. Oh my, it's a good thing you love the shopping.
When did you start shopping this year?
I don't like it. I started about a month ago, but it's been all online Amazon shopping.
You're a whole month ahead of me.
But I'm not even close to done. But I do have some done.
That's good.
So that's good.
That's good. So, but I do. I enjoy the giving part, and I enjoy watching. You know, when the boys were growing up, I always just enjoyed, and this is probably true for every parent, so I'm not unique, but it's just enjoy watching their reaction to opening gifts. And, you know you really nailed it. I think last year was awesome because it wasn't the gift I got my kids. It was the gift I got my mom. I got her the ceramic copper pot, and my beloved mother, who is the sweetest lady on earth, I thought she acted like a little girl when she opened that.
It was the red copper.
Yeah, it was exactly.
You have to get the right one.
As seen on TV. But I enjoyed that. When it comes to my favorite part of Christmas at Maplewood, I enjoyed the Christmas program this past Sunday. That was really good. Sometimes Christmas programs are, you know, you got to get it done and they become a drudgery. But I actually felt like, you know, that was a very meaningful, worshipful service for me, even being part of it. I thought it was just really good. You could feel the Holy Spirit was moving during the service, and just a lot of positive energy that came out of that service. It really felt like it just felt like God was there, which was pretty cool. So I enjoyed that, and I must say, last year was kind of unique, but having church, our first Christmas at Maplewood with church on Christmas Sunday, while it kind of was kind of like the piece of the program in our Christmas day, it was like a donut hole almost, where we did a little bit of Christmas morning, we did church, and then we came home and we finished it up. I really enjoyed Christmas morning service last year, and I'm looking forward to Christmas Eve service this year. So riddle me this. So if you've been at Maplewood for any length of time, you know Pastor Vicky is the music master, minister. What's your favorite Christmas hymn?
There's an awful lot of them, but probably it would be a close tie between O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which I just love the way the music is laid out for that one. And I also like What Child Is This? And it's funny that those are both in minor key signatures. I think, okay, I don't usually gravitate towards the minor keys, but they're beautiful musically. They're musically crafted beautifully. But really, I've never met any Christmas hymns that I don't like. So.
I don't think you've met a Christmas song you don't like.
Probably. Well, there's. I hate the song Christmas Shoes. I hate that one. So there's at least one. That's not a Christmas hymn. That's just a song. Any Christmas song that makes me cry, and that ugly cry, I don't want to hear that one. But yes, I really love all the songs of Christmas, but those two I really enjoy hearing sung and singing them in a worship service. They're just really beautifully done.
So over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure that we'll
get a flavor. We've already done O Come, O Come Emmanuel. We did that one the first Sunday of Advent. Mm-hmm. And yes, What Child Is This will appear for sure, as well as many others. We just have two Sundays left to cram in as many of them.
That's
as we
crazy,
can.
Isn't it? Yeah. Two Sundays left in the Advent season. So we got the Christmas hymns down. Favorite character, favorite Bible character in the Christmas story, not the Christmas story, the movie with Ralphie, but your favorite Bible character in the Christmas story, and what draws you to that particular character?
Well, you have a better answer on that one than me, so you can go first.
I'll go first on that one. It's kind of a strange. You've got the typical, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and the shepherds, and the wise men. But as we were kind of prepping for this, I was telling Vicki that one of the characters in the story that I'm really drawn to is Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist. And I don't know, there's just something appealing to Zechariah for me because he's a man of God. He's close to God. He's in the midst of doing his job as one of the priests, and he encounters God in the temple and as a priest. And, in the midst of doing this work that he's called to, this angel speaks to him and tells him about, his son who's going to be born. And in the midst of doing his job and being connected, you think being plugged in, being the spiritual leader that he was, that he would just automatically believe. But in the midst of that, he was human. And even in the midst of going through the act of worship in his story, he didn't quite react the way you would expect him to react for the role or the title that he carries in the story. And then everybody knows, he was mute until John the Baptist was born. And then the reveal, his name shall be John. When he gets his voice back, he regains his voice. There's just something about that character that is very human to me, because if I were writing the story, everybody would believe automatically. But I think there's this very natural human nature to react sometimes to when God moves in our lives, to almost initially fall into a level of unbelief and then have to grow in our faith to get to that level of belief. And I think that Zechariah is just one of those characters in the story that kind of exemplifies a very authentic human experience. He's not a superhero in the story. He's more of just, even though he's got the title and the role of priest and all that jazz, he's very human to me. That's appealing to me because that feels authentic to me. So Zechariah is my favorite. That's my answer to the question. How about you? What say you?
I always lean, obviously, towards the female characters just because I'm a girl, which I know is not a shock to you. But I mean, they're obviously, Mary is a draw for me because she is, asked by God to do a very challenging task. And I know we talked about this in our Sunday school class, not this past Sunday, but the one before, about how young she was. And she was probably, 15 or maybe 16 or maybe even 14. And I think about how mature I was at that age, and not very would be my answer. I was not very mature at all. And spiritually, certainly not very mature, although I was, trying to establish mm-hmm. a relationship with God. But for him to come to Mary and, to lay out, I love the passage where, the angel comes and says, this is how it's going to be. You're going to have a child. And she says, but how can this be? And my translation is, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And he says, you know, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you're going to have a baby. And then her response to that, I think, is what really gets me, is, you know, at the very end of all of that, and I'm sure she still has 2 million questions, but yet she says, may it be just like you said, which basically to me says she's holding up her hands in surrender and saying, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, that is the right answer for me, even though I'm sure that, you know, there are a whole lot of answers she wish she had. But that I look at that and think, you know, Lord, the Lord is often asking us to step out in faith and to do something that we don't have all the answers mm-hmm. to. And sometimes we might even think, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And I think often we just have to step out in faith and hold up our hands and surrender and say, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. And I think we even felt that way when we accepted the call to Maplewood, is, you know, there were a lot of questions in there and a lot of, but, you know, what about this and what about this and what about the drive and what about, you know, what about our kids and what about, and I think eventually we just got to the point where, you know, we really felt like the Lord just said, you just need to put your hands up and surrender and step out in faith because this is what I want you to do. And, you know, we could tell that story a million times about a million different situations, as could, I think, probably every single mm-hmm. person at Maplewood, because God often asks us to take the step before we totally know what kind of ground is fully underneath us. And I still think we do that with, you know, with wisdom and discernment, and we use our brains. God gave us a brain and we're supposed to use it. And I'm sure Mary did that, and that she, you know, thought through as much as she humanly could to prepare and to do what she needed to do. But at some point there's that step of faith that you have to take. And I don't know if I would have been mature enough at that age to do something like that, but obviously God chose her for a reason, and I believe that God chooses us for specific calls for a reason, and he equips us for them. So I know it's kind of, you know, almost a cop out to pick Mary as my favorite
You're allowed to.
But I feel like she's the one I identify with the most, and that, you know, God asks us to do hard things that we don't always know the answers to. And I believe anybody who's following Christ could say that that is the case.
Very good. That's cool.
Do I get an A plus?
You get an A plus. You get an A plus for that. You get an A plus for that. Kind of my final question as we wrap this up. You know, it is the Christmas season. We're sitting here talking about, oh, I haven't done my shopping. We're signing Christmas cards and thinking about all the preparations. What is your advice for people who maybe struggling to tap into the true spirit of the season this year? One of the things we talked about the sermon for the first Sunday of Advent was, we don't want to get on the other side of the Christmas season and have missed it because we're so busy preparing. From your standpoint, from where you sit, what's your advice for people who may be struggling in trying to tap in? Maybe it's something that's happened in their life. It could be tragedy. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be financial hardship. Who knows what? Or it could just be all the busyness that comes with the season. But from a spiritual standpoint, what would your words be for people who are struggling to kind of get into the mood this season?
I know our teens were talking about this in Sunday school this past Sunday, and I was emphasizing to them how messy and sloppy and authentic the real first Christmas was. I mean, we talked about how it was, you know, not ideal. And even though we sometimes portray it as being this, you know, ideal, pristine, beautiful setting with the sweet baby Jesus laying in the beautiful clean straw and the clean animals, and everybody has really nice, pretty clothes on. But we know for real that the real Jesus came into the mess, and it was still joyful and beautiful, and he's still the Prince of Peace. So I often have to remind myself, you know, when I am a hot mess, or, you know, I'm struggling, or my circumstances are less than ideal, or the people I love that, you know, we're trying hard to be a help and encouragement to them, but, you know, we have this messy world that we live in, and things are less than perfect. But that's exactly where Christ entered the story the first Christmas. So I look at it and say, you know, it's not that we're trying to be a hot mess, but when we are, God comes in. I mean, that's where he enters. That's where he enters. So I think when we focus on allowing Christ to enter into our chaos, mm-hmm. that's when we really start to experience the real, true spirit of Christmas. And I think there's lots of ways that that can look, but it's really just, it's a simple heart thing is what it is. It's always, always about the heart. And if we are allowing him to enter into our mess.
That's great. That's great. And so we'll leave you with that thought. Are you allowing him to enter into your mess? We've got a lot of stuff on our plates in the holiday season, a lot of baggage. Sometimes people bring it in. We all do in certain ways. And knowing and understanding that Christ meets us where, right where we are, the intersection of where we're at and where he wants to be in our lives, he's right there. And just being mindful of that, I think, is critical to not missing the true meaning of Christmas. I want to invite you to join us this Sunday at 9:30 for Sunday school, and we also have our third Sunday of Advent coming up this week. If you are reading Long Expected Jesus, which is the devotional book that we are sharing together as a church family, please be remembering to read that on a regular basis. And this week, the theme is He is Light. So this past Sunday, He is Lord, and this next Sunday, He is Light, and we'll be focusing our service on Christmas as the season of lights, and we invite you to enjoy it. We invite you to join us next week. So I think the first ever Maplewood podcast holiday special has been a raging success. What do you think?
Whatever you say, hon.
Thank you for putting up with me. She's humoring me, so I'm thankful for her, and I'm thankful for everybody out there who's listening, and we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.